Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Take a moment right now, just be still. Let's just be still in His presence. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. In quietness and in rest shall be your strength. Hallelujah. We breathe you in, God. You are our life. You've given life and breath to all. In you we live and move and have our being. You are a life-giving spirit. You are the father of our spirits and the lover of our soul. And we look to you now, Lord. We hope in you. And those who hope in you will not be ashamed. They will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, amen. Though none go with me, still I will follow, right? Hallelujah. We're not following the crowds, praise God. We're following the King. Hallelujah. He knows the way through the wilderness. All we got to do is follow. Listen. Be strong and listen to His voice. The enemy's been trying to sow discouragement. But God's not in discouragement. So if you're getting a sense of discouragement coming upon you, know the source of that is not the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know what we're supposed to be doing? Rejoicing. Yes. We rejoice. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you see? You feel God smiling upon us this morning? Amen. Amen. The Lord is just smiling upon us. Hallelujah. He's with us. Yes. And Lord, we want to honor you today. We want to honor you and submit ourselves to you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to direct us, Lord. Give me ears to hear your voice, Lord, that I can speak the very oracles of God, the truth. Nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Father, give us all ears to hear what you are saying today. Anoint us to hear. Help us to hear. Help us to listen. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We want to follow you. We want to sense you, Lord. We want to feel you. We just want to know you. You are so good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what? But have everlasting. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's into new beginnings. He doesn't come to patch up the old thing. He says, you got to get rid of the old thing. There just needs to be a replacement. Got to get rid of that old stony heart. I'll give you a brand new heart. Amen. For the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit. We receive the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And be connected with him in the heart. Communion with him in the heart. Hallelujah. Remember in the Old Testament temple, it was in the secret place of the most holy place. Amen. Where the presence, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. Hallelujah. That speaks of the inner core, right, of us today who are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells within us. And we commune with God. In other words, we are a house of prayer, aren't we? Hallelujah. So the house of prayer has gathered in a house made by hands this morning. Amen? Amen. But we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So when we say we're going to the house of the Lord, we may be going to a meeting place. Amen. But we're going to the house of the Lord. We're going to meet with God's people who are the house of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to connect. We're going to gather in his name. We're going to assemble. And wherever we're gathered together, two or three, he's in our midst. Hallelujah. You know, guys, if we miss Jesus, we've missed the whole point of this morning. If you're looking to a man to satisfy you, you will be disappointed. But if you look to the Lord, he will satisfy you. Even the deepest longings of your heart. A lot of times we don't even know what we're really looking for, but we just know something is missing. And we often try to fill ourselves up on things that are inferior, that never truly satisfy. It's called the things of this life, of this world, the temporary things. But Jesus is the one who satisfies the deepest longing of our heart, because we were created for Him. We were designed to be a house of God, and the Holy Spirit would dwell within us. Hallelujah. So guys, thanks for coming out this morning. It's good to see you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you got something good is happening, man, if God is with us, amen, He only serves the best. But, you know, guys, I used to be around God's people, and I'd been in church, and I've heard some preaching, and I've heard some music, and, you know, but I know what it's like to be in God's presence with His people and completely missing it. Are you hearing me, what I'm saying? Completely missing it, not connecting, not making that divine connection with Him, because the enemy is a master at distraction. He wants your attention instead. So he's seeking to distract you from God. Amen. He wants to distract you from the Lord, because he wants to rob you. He wants to rob you from what God has for you. So when we come, we need to know that God is serving, amen, the best food, the best wine. We can rejoice in Him. Hallelujah. We can be satisfied with Him who is our bread. Amen. He's serving the best. But the enemy wants to come up and distract your mind and get you off Jesus and onto other things. You know why? Because the devil is a narcissist. He loves attention. You ever notice that? You ever been involved in deliverance? You know, the demons, they just like attention. Look at me, look at me. So we need to silence those voices. We need to shut everything down and shut everything out and shut ourselves in with Jesus in the secret place when we're enveloped in Him. Amen. And so it takes a discipline for us to say, I'm not going to allow these other things come in right now, but I'm going to focus on the Lord and be open to what He's got to say to me. Same thing when we worship, when we sing. Amen. It's a thing that we should be together in. Amen. But also when we're hearing the word preached, we've got to shut out these things of the enemy and not allow him to distract us. Because, again, he's a thief. And he knows that what God is serving is what you need more than your daily natural bread. We need his bread. Man shall not live by wonder bread alone, right? But by every word. Well, you definitely are not going to live on Wonder Bread very long. You die of malnutrition, but anyways, moving right along. So, but you know, I talked about this many times, but guys, the devil wants to get you satisfied on filler food, Doritos and whatever else. So you don't have an appetite for what really nourishes you, because you get used to certain things. And sometimes they become bad habits and they're hard to break. So we've got to really be careful, because we're basically navigating through a spiritual minefield. And the Lord knows the way through the minefield. So we've got to stay close so that our eyes are opened and we're able to discern what is true, what is false, what is of Him, what is not of Him. In the title of this morning's message is Overcoming Fear and Discouragement. We need to remember that the battle we are facing at this time is ultimately the Lord's. We say that, well, the battle is the Lord's, yes, but we need to also understand that God has brought us into fellowship and into partnership with Him in the battle. So there's something that we need to do as well. It's not all on God. God calls us into fellowship and to partnership with Him for His will to be accomplished on the earth. Can you say amen? So some people are sitting around waiting for something to change, maybe waiting for the water to stir, like the impotent man. But God says, if you draw near to me, you take the initiative, you draw near, amen? Call upon Him, come before His presence with singing, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Hallelujah. And the closer we get to Jesus, the better it is. Hallelujah. The greater the peace, the greater the joy. Because He is perfect peace. He is our exceeding joy. So this battle we're facing in America today is really ultimately the Lord's. And guess what? God is going to have His way. No matter what man does, God's going to have His way in America. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do, God will have His way. Because He is sovereign Lord over all the earth, amen? Over all creation, all that there is. How many know that God's not in heaven chewing His nails? Amen? He's sovereign King over all the universe, hallelujah. And I want to talk about these two things, really, fear and discouragement, because that's what the enemy is using in this hour to try to sap the strength out of God's people. He's after your faith, your confidence. And so you need to be strong in the Lord, and you need to take your stand and refuse to listen to the voice of the adversary that would seek to discourage you. Whenever you sense a discouragement coming on, know that it's not from the Lord. Take that thought captive, reverse that, amen. Instead of sorrowing or worrying, give God praise. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you need to get out your ugly dance, do that, amen. But get it on, hallelujah, and forget what the enemy is saying to you. The Lord is looking for a people who will partner with Him, who will stand in the gap on behalf of this nation, on behalf of our families, our loved ones, our neighbors. God's looking for someone who will pray and be an extension of His heart in this world. How many here are willing to partner with God and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Amen. Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Now, again, God chooses human vessels to accomplish His purposes in the earth realm. And so you and I are a royal priesthood in Christ. And as a royal priesthood, we are responsible, amen, to stand in the gap. That is our responsibility. Part of our responsibility is to pray for our nation, amen. And we're not praying in vain, but we're praying the prayer of faith, a prayer of confidence that says, but God is able. As a matter of fact, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even think, according to His mighty power at work within us. So nothing is impossible with God. We need to see who God really is. Amen. God, open our understanding to get a greater glimpse of You, a better glimpse of You, to know how great and mighty and powerful and awesome You really are. Because often we shrink God. And by shrinking God in our imagination, we're limiting what God will accomplish through us. Because God honors faith. People that really believe that God can do this. Sometimes when it comes to miracles, maybe God has used you in a certain way. Maybe healing knees or backs or necks and things like that. Amen? And after a while, that becomes the watermark that you live by, and you expect those things when you pray for people. But what about people coming out of wheelchairs? What about raising the dead? Amen? Is God able to do that? Yes. But it's according to what we believe. How big is our God? Is He able? Is He capable? And sometimes we get ourselves in the equation. And there's the problem. Is I'm thinking, well, I'm not good enough for God to use me like that. Well, none of us, apart from Him, are good enough for Him. He's perfect. He's holy in all of His ways. But He has given us His righteousness in Jesus Christ. Amen. So that we are qualified to be in His presence. And to pray and be heard. And God wants to answer prayer. Come on, somebody. But the devil's after your faith, so he doesn't want you to pray, and he wants to try to talk you out of prayer.
Are you just wasting your time praying for that knucklehead?
I'm sure my parents heard that a few times with me growing up, you know. I'm just thankful that they didn't kill me, you know. I almost killed myself, but God saved me. Hallelujah. But sometimes the barriers, guys, that separate us from our destiny, they remain there simply because we refuse to do anything about it. There are barriers between you and your destiny that are there that God wants you to remove. As you partner with Him and pray according to His will, these things will move. Amen. But we have to agree with heaven. We have to agree with the Father's will, with His heart. That God does not want His people bound by drugs or alcohol or sex or perversion or any of this stuff that people are hung up on. God wants His people liberated completely. That is the will of God. And we have to believe that God is great enough, powerful enough to break any habit, any sin, any addiction. Amen. Because sin has been overcome by the Lord Jesus Christ. It no longer has power or authority over God's people. I can do what? All things through Christ. Do we believe? And as we say that, as we declare those promises, faith rises. I remember hearing a song years ago. You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. Sometimes these blockades remain because we refuse to move from where we're at, too. I like being comfortable. How about you? How many know that God is making His church uncomfortable right now? How many agree that's a good thing? God is stirring up His people. Say, guys, I need you to come back. Amen. And let's get into alignment, get into agreement again. Let's get into cooperation again. Amen. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Because I'm going to answer from heaven. Hallelujah. And God is going to have a way. Sometimes we want it right now. God, do it right now. Right now. And God says, no, no, I'm going to have to turn the heat up because you're still asleep. Are you hearing me? There's a lot of folks that are praying across this nation, but guys, we're not praying and doing what we should have done, amen, prior even to this election. And God is saying that He wants His church, everybody, amen, that's called by His name, to come together right now to seek His face, all right? To turn from our wicked ways, call upon Him, and watch and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so often we get into knee-jerk reactions, you know. We see something on the media and we're immediately shooken as if they are the authority. We need to get our eyes off the media and get our eyes on the Lord. But God, God is able, more than able. Listen to God's instruction to Moses at the Red Sea. In Exodus 14, verse 15, here's when Israel, you remember, was up against the Red Sea, the mountains behind them, and there's no way they could turn around. The Egyptians were in hot pursuit. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to what? Go forward." What is God saying to us today as His people? Go forward. Don't sit here and chew your nails and fret and worry and fear. And instead, go forward, work out, amen, the salvation of the Lord. Stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Walk with the Lord every day. Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Then He told Moses in verse 16, "But lift up your rod." He told the children of Israel to do what? To go forward. And then He told them to what? He told Moses to lift up his rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Now, who's going to divide the sea? God is, right? But God's going to work in partnership with who? Moses. Do you understand how God calls us to partner with Him to accomplish His purposes? And so what does the rod represent? It represents authority, yes. Amen. A king will have a scepter. Amen. Now, Moses just had probably a staff, a rod, a stick. Okay. But that stick represented the authority that God had invested in him because God had called him to be the deliverer of his people. And here he was up against the Red Sea. Moses is crying out to God. And God is saying, Moses, quit crying out to me. It's time for you to move forward. It's a time to pray and it's a time to move. And so it was time for them to move. But before they would move, amen, Moses had to do what? He had to lift up the rod. He had to take authority. God told me to do this. And so I'm going to go forward. I'm stepping out in this. And then he had already said, he'd already decreed it. He had already declared it. What? Watch, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Guys, that's a good word for us today. When people are worried and fearful and fretful, say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Get your eyes off the mess and onto the solution. Hallelujah. The Lord is the solution. God was telling Moses, start exercising the authority, hear me, that you already possess. God give me, God give me, God give me. God says, what do you have in your hand? That's, I've already given you something to work with here. What are you doing with what you have? Come on. It's time to reach out our, amen, take authority in the realm that God has appointed us. Guys, I believe that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, let me just try to bring a little correction to some modern theology. You and I do not have all authority. I hear some people saying that. But actually, Jesus has all authority. He is the head, the commander in chief. We are an extension of him in the earth, his body. Amen. And God has given us a certain realm of influence, right? He's given us a measure of faith. And that faith represents, like you said, Nance, authority. You got a gold star for that answer, actually. Guys, sometimes that's the way it is. We don't realize the authority that we have. We underestimate what is possible with God. And the enemy wants you to live below your potential. And so he uses fear and discouragement to try to rob you of your confidence. Your confidence has great reward. So we need to be confident in our God. Amen. David was confident that his God, amen, would bring a great deliverance when he was faced with the giant Goliath, remember. His faith was not in himself, but he was in partnership with the Lord. God gave him some natural tools to work with. Amen. He had some stones, amen, and a sling. But in partnership with the Lord, amen, he was able to take the giant out. And the same thing is true. Whatever is facing you right now, whatever is blocking you from reaching your destiny, whatever is standing in your way that is between you and what God wants for you, it's time for you to take your authority over that and say, speak to that mountain, what? Be thou removed and cast into the sea. And do it in faith in your God who is able. If it's his will, it's his bill. He'll take care of it. He'll provide for you the grace in order for you to do what he's called you to do. Amen. And you got to take captive those thoughts when the enemy tries to come in and says, oh, you can't, you won't, you'll never. And we need to say, but God can. And together with God, hallelujah, we're going to accomplish exactly what God called me to do because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's my strength. Hallelujah. So in 2 Corinthians 10:5, I love this. Casting down imaginations or arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. This is where the battlefield, isn't it? Well, I'll never. I can't. Well, who told you you can't? It's hopeless. Who told you it's hopeless? It wasn't the Lord. We got to take those thoughts captive and say, wait a minute, that's an illegal thought for me. I'm not allowed to think about those things. And listen, the devil is an expert at psychological warfare, isn't he? You know that if you've been in the military and the army, how the enemy will use psychological warfare, you know, try to defeat the enemy in their hearts before they even fire a single shot. What do you think? Why do you think they have these huge parades of military equipment and men and women in uniform and, you know, showing off all their wear? Because they're trying to mess with your head. They're trying to get you defeated already. Say, oh, there's just no way we can deal with that army. Come on, somebody. Psychological warfare. When we were in the army, occasionally you get, maybe all it took is a couple people to get on a negative trip and start to complain about the chow, about the conditions, about everything. You know, and next thing you know, everybody is like, yeah, man, I know what you mean. It really stinks, you know. And before long, we have what's called poor morale. And we see that exactly played out in Scripture, don't we? With the spies that went into the land. That came back with a what? Evil report. That represents the media today, by the way. The evil report. Moving right along. The devil seeks to sow discouragement in our hearts, in the hearts of God's people. And how does he do that? Well, he uses lies to do that. We need to resist this unbelief and rejoice in the Lord. I find that my confidence level rises when I exalt the Lord, when I magnify the Lord, when I speak out and declare what is true about God and how mighty and how great and how awesome and capable he is. Hallelujah. All of a sudden that kind of faith arises in me and I find myself above my circumstances rather than being subject to them. And I have peace. I have joy to where, hey, instead of worrying about what's going to happen, let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's have a celebration, hallelujah, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we're aligning our conversation with the possibilities that are in God. Amen. With man, it may be impossible, but with God, nothing. Right? That's right. All things are possible. So here, listen to the fear and the hopelessness coming from the children of Israel in Exodus 14:11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Sometimes that happens to new believers, you know. You're all excited about the Lord. Things are going to be great from here on out. You had no idea that there was going to be a time of testing in the wilderness. And as long as everything was just going my way, life was good, right? Until you find yourself in the wilderness and now it's like, oh my word, I didn't bargain on this. And you start allowing the enemy to get in and say, well, why don't you just go back to Egypt? You know, God's not good. God's not fair. How could God allow this to happen to you? As good as you are, as righteous as you are. Why did God bring them out into the wilderness to show them that they weren't good, they weren't righteous, that they need to depend on Him? All of a sudden, all that ugliness started boiling out of them. Oh, I wish we were back with the leeks, back in the land, eating from the flesh pots. And life was good back then. They forgot so quickly how miserable they were. And all that God was doing is taking them through a temporary process, amen, to equip them and prepare them for what He had up ahead. And instead, they got bogged down into the process and started looking just at the process. Well, why, God? Do you understand? I don't know about you, but I've been there before. And God says, quit your snibbling. Look above it. Look beyond it. Fix your eyes on where you're going. Hallelujah. Put your eyes upon Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the one that's waiting at the finish line. Hallelujah. And we're looking to Jesus. Amen. We're going to have to swat a few gnats along the way. Amen. But God's got us on a journey here. He has provided for us. Amen. His Spirit to guide us. Amen. To give us sight even at night. Hallelujah. To keep us warm, to comfort us along our journey. Amen. And a cloud by day. God says, when I move, you move. When I settle, you settle. Amen. But stay with me. Stay close to me. And together we're going to go through this. And you're going to learn that I am faithful just like my name. I am true. The devil's a liar. So what was their problem? Well, it begins with a U. I'll give you another clue. UN. Unbelief. Unbelief. Did God really mean what he said? The enemy comes in and says, God just brought you out here to kill you. But Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, didn't they? They say, no. God has given us a land, and it's a good land, and we're able to take it because God gave it to us already by promise. We're going to put our faith in what God said and not in our circumstances, not how things appear right now. You see, a lot of times we are living by sight and not realizing it, and we can usually tell because when something happens and or something appears a certain way, right away we're just going along with that and believing that because we're not seeing beyond it. And sometimes we need to go back and remind ourselves, well, what did the Lord say? What did the Lord promise? What did the Lord say to me about what I would face? Did he not promise to never leave me or forsake me? Did he not say, I will be with you always? They were judging things by the way they appeared. And I remember Chris preached a message, Chris Davies. And the title of it was, Things Are Not Always the Way They Appear. And that is so true. So sometimes, guys, we're judging things by how they appear, but that doesn't necessarily mean that is truth. The devil's the master at deception, of misinformation, of stealth. He can change forms. He can look like something very beautiful. Guys, he can appear as a woman with a red dress on. Or is it the blue dress? One of them. Sometimes he appears as what? An angel of light. And sometimes his full ugliness is revealed too. But most of the time, he's going to entice you with something that looks good. It appears good. It seems like a good idea. Well, if CNN said it, it must be true. Moving right along. All right. Now, what did Moses try to do? He tried to encourage the people. Verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Guys, I want to say this. I truly believe that God is going to humble Pharaoh again. He's going to humble Pharaoh. He's going to humble the wicked in this nation. And he's going to have his way. Amen. We're going to witness some tremendous miracles in the days ahead. Amen. We need to be careful that we don't get into the camp of unbelief, of complaining and belly aching and thinking it's hopeless, because that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. That's the psychological warfare he's using right now. He wants to sow discouragement. And then he's already got his mockers out there. I don't know if I should do that or not, but rub it in your face. We don't look at that. But our God, when the devil comes up to try to discourage you, you just look to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, that you are with me. That you are for me, that you're not against me, that you're working out your eternal plan in my life. Hallelujah. And we're going to come forth as shining gold. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for your promise that you're going to come again and you're going to receive us. Hallelujah. And the day is coming when you shall come and establish your reign. Hallelujah. Out of Jerusalem. Amen. Who you shall reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. And in that day, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. It's time for us to rise up and rejoice. The enemy's a bluffer. We're to live by the promises of God, what God promised, and not by what we see or hear. The only voice we're supposed to be listening to in this hour is the voice of the Lord. Come on, what is God saying? We're all asking that. Well, I believe God is saying that victory is up ahead. Amen. Keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Go forward. Amen. God's with us. God's for us. And together with the Lord, we shall gain the victory. God is waking up His people through this right now. He's put the pause button on again. Hallelujah. But what's happening is He's turning up the heat to stir up, amen, the sleeping giant called the church in America. Amen. Because before this whole thing started happening, amen, some Christians were waking up, but many were not. And this is what I see happening is God saying, okay, I'm going to have to turn the heat up a little bit more. Because what I want to do is I want to bless you, my people. I want to prosper you again. I want to turn your captivity. But I can't do that if you're not interested in going with me. Instead, you're just giving permission to your enemies to trample on you. But praise God, He's greater than the one that's in the world. Hallelujah. Psalms 121, verse 1. Praise silences the enemy. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? It didn't say, I will lift up my eyes to Washington, D.C. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now, hear this. I want to bring this back up again because remember Rahab. On the wall of Jericho, right? And the spies went in. There was two spies that talked with her. Now remember, the people were fearful. Okay? Because they saw giants in the land. And the spies came back, amen, with an evil report. Some of them did, amen? And they're just saying, listen, the land is good, yes, but there are giants in the land. Oh. In other words, we're not able to overcome this. It's too big. It's too impossible. See, this is what the enemy does. He lies to you and tells you, oh, it's too big. Nothing is impossible with God. Right. And the one who spoke the cosmos into existence, everything held together by the power of His word. Hallelujah. He's the great God, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who was and is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. He's the God that we serve. He's the God that we put our confidence in, our faith in. He's able to turn any situation around. And so the two are here conversing with Rahab. And they're probably saying, oh man, who knows what they're thinking. We've just been hearing all this stuff, all this negativity, all this report that it's just too bad, it's too gone, too far gone. You know, sometimes, guys, it's just easier to go along with the crowd than it is to stand against the flow. You know, sometimes, I mean, we're social creatures. And we're prone to go with what the crowd does. But you know, sometimes even the church, okay, not talking about everybody, but Christians can be in the wrong camp. And you need to be careful that you're not flowing, amen, with those who are in unbelief. Even though they may be children of God, they could be in unbelief. And you need to guard yourself against that because God wants His people to have confidence in Him. He wants us to be encouraged, not discouraged. Understand where discouragement comes from. From our enemy, doesn't it? So remember the words of Rahab the harlot on the wall of Jericho in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 2. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land are what? Faint-hearted because of you. Guys, let me say this. The enemy is terrified right now. The devil is the one that's terrified. He knows he has a short time, and there's a lot of fear running throughout the government of this nation right now because God is going to have His way, and there's going to be justice because He is a just God. And so don't listen to that lie of the enemy that's telling you, oh, it's just so far gone. It's too bad. It's too impossible. And don't be afraid of your adversary. Amen? Don't give in to that lie. Know that your adversary is afraid of those who have confidence in God. That's why he's coming against your confidence. He's coming against your faith. Because if we will rise up in faith, hallelujah, this thing is going to be turned around. And I believe it will. But we need to pray. Keep our hand to the plow. Keep going along, amen, the direction that the Lord leads us. Amen. And don't allow discouragement to shut you down or shut you up. God has given you a voice. Use it when necessary. Amen. But not just any time. But when he's telling you to speak up, speak up. Because the word of God is powerful. It's effective. Hallelujah. And she said this, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites and were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." And verse 11, look at it. "As soon as we heard these things, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." See, sometimes the enemy gets this thing reversed in our heads. Like we're supposed to be trembling. Like we're supposed to be fearful. Like we're supposed to be worried. No. It's the enemy who's terrified. He knows who the Lord is. And he knows his days are numbered. We stand in the gap. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're on the Lord's side. We're on the winning team here. If God be for us. And they said their hearts melted and no courage remained in them because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, guys, I want to also mention this morning. Listen, we need to remember that the cross of our Lord was actually the greatest victory in history. It seemed to be a great loss at the time, but actually it was the greatest victory in history because Jesus has defeated death and he rose victorious on the third day for our justification. And the enemy is defeated and the devil is on borrowed time. Come on, somebody. So don't be discouraged by what you see in the natural. Because God is going to have his way. Hallelujah. Yes, the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And the Lord shall reign over all. Hallelujah. And to those who suffer with him now, we shall also reign with him. Listen to this, Psalms 2:1. I love this. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together," what? "Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces. We don't want any restrictions. We don't want any rules. We don't want any laws. We want to do it our way. And cast away their cords from us." In verse 4, he says, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure." There's coming a humbling of the wicked, of the proud. God gives his grace to the humble. To those who submit to Christ, amen, he will lift you up in victory. But the proud, he resists. And the Lord is allowing things for a season for his purposes. And most importantly, everything works together for the purpose of purifying his people, his church, his bride, getting us ready for the day we shall be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. God's going to have a holy people. Hallelujah. And so in the process, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And instead of complaining and worrying and being fearful, start giving God the praise and the glory He deserves. Amen. Start confessing what God has already promised you in His Word. Hallelujah. I know the Lord's going to make a way for me. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. What is God doing? He's waking us up. God wants His church, come on, like Moses, to start exercising their authority. Oh, come on. What is it you got in your hand? Well, I only got a little sack lunch. Well, give it back to Jesus. Watch Him multiply it. Give Him your talents. Give Him your life. Give Him whatever you got. He can supersize it. Amen? God has a way of doing that. God will take a weakness and turn it into a strength. He'll take a quiet, shy young boy, amen, and turn him into a mouthpiece for Him. Amen. The people will say, that's got to be God, because that's not who that person is naturally. So understand, it's not because of your limitations that God can't use you. He designed you, and He knows what you're capable of doing. And He knows that in the areas where you're not able, He is able. And that way people will know it's God and not you. And He receives the glory. Amen. Because we have this treasure, what? In an earthen vessel. In a clay jar. We're just a clay vessel for God. But I'm happy to be a clay vessel for God. How about you? I don't know about you, but sometimes the Lord's ways may seem unreasonable. Because in our own natural mind or understanding, we're not capable of really knowing what God is up to. And what God wants us to know, He will reveal to us by His Spirit. And I think often it's a maturity thing. There's certain things you don't or you shouldn't be telling your children until they're old enough to receive it and be responsible for that with that knowledge. Come on. Thank you, Mr. Inslee. Not going there. Some of these things that they signed into law. But it's a maturity thing. Amen. We need to be at the point where we're able to drive the car safely before you give Johnny the keys. So it is, the Lord wants us to be faithful in what He's given us, in that which is already in our hand. Start exercising according to that authority, not go beyond what you're able, but by faith in what He's equipped you to do, step out, start exercising your faith. Start praying for people, amen? Start laying hands on the sick, hallelujah. Start casting demons out, all right? Start doing what God told you to do, hallelujah. Lay your hands on the dead, amen, and raise them from the... If God gives you that opportunity, step out in faith. Jesus told us to do it. You've got to see God as being bigger than that. Whatever it is that we're faced with, whatever stands between you and your destiny, you need to take authority over that and make it get out of your way. Sometimes it's just plain discouragement that is that blockade that's keeping you from moving forward in God. And the devil has effectively set up this wall, but God says, speak to that wall. My God is more than able. My God can do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. For nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God's allowing things to progress the way they are for the purpose of exposing corruption in our land. God wants to save, heal, and deliver America. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I mentioned before about the removing of the lid. You know, sometimes we're getting so used to running into that wall that we just accept it and we just leave it alone. And we resolve to stay where we're at. And what happens is sometimes we even get comfortable and complacent in the place where we're at. And we're not willing to take on any more challenges because you've run into that wall so many times that to you it's just something that's impossible. You remember I used the illustration before about the fleas in a jar. They put fleas in a jar, they put the lid on, and those fleas would fly up and bump their heads on the top of that lid, you know? After they did that a few times, they had enough sense to realize that, hey, I better quit doing that. It's getting painful. I'm starting to get a headache here. And so then they got into this little pattern of kind of just rotating around in that jar. And guess what? They took the lid off. And guess what the fleas did? They stayed in the jar. Because they were so used to having that lid there. Can I suggest to you that a lot of the things that, you know, we're allowing in our lives, God has already dealt with, and He wants you by faith to take authority over it and move beyond it. Some people are, their addiction is like that lid. It's just like, I can't overcome. I tried. I've done all this thing. I just can't. I've been all these programs. I can't do it. Well, what if you understand and believe that God has already destroyed the power of that addiction in your life through the power of Jesus Christ? Amen. And that you have been set free already. What you believe is what you're going to receive. If you believe that that addiction is greater than your capability in Christ, then that thing will continue to be a wall that you won't get past. But you need to understand that it's not God's will. And if it's not God's will for me to be bound by anything, amen, then in Jesus' name, I can overcome this thing. Why? Because God has already overcome it. And He's given me the authorization to speak to that mountain and have it move out of the way. And the devil comes along and says, oh, you just can't do it. It's too much, too big, too long. But God says, do you believe me? You say, Lord, you can do anything. There's nothing impossible with you. Then God says, then as an act of faith, start walking in your freedom. Declare your freedom and walk in it. Choose to believe the word of the Lord that in Jesus' name, I am free. In Jesus' name, I am no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer a porn addict, whatever it might be, whatever the vice is. I'm free in Jesus' name. To walk in my freedom because Jesus Christ has overcome. And in Him, I also overcome. What you believe determines what you receive. So I believe that God set me free from drugs and alcohol back in the day. Hallelujah. It was the day I went to that garbage can. And I took all that stuff and I just threw it in there. And at that moment, God says, now I know you believe me. Because before that, I would maybe get rid of some of it. I'd still hold on to just in case. You know, it's the just in case thing that keeps you bound to it, right? It's just in case it didn't work out, I think I can go back to it. God says, no, the whole thing. Cut completely away from it. Amen? Cut it out of your life. If your right hand's offending you, cut it off and cast it from you. Deal with the whole thing. Don't play with it anymore. A lot of times that's why people aren't free, is because they're not fully committing themselves to walk in freedom and to believe God that they are free. Huh. You mean the lid's off already? Yes, the lid's already off. Man, I thought, all this time I'm walking in bondage and I'm actually free from that thing. But the devil kept lying to me and telling me I'm not. And I believed the wrong report. I believed the evil report. Oh, the giants. God wants His church to rise up like Caleb, like Joshua. And it's interesting that you talked about that this morning. And you know, last night I sat down, and after I'd finished this, and I watched a YouTube, and he was saying this, one of these guys was saying the same thing. I'm like, thank you, Lord. And this is just confirming that we're on the right track here. And then Caleb quieted the people, Numbers 13, verse 30, before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are what? Well able to overcome it. That's what? A word of faith. And not listen to the lies of the media. What was the media saying? Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, guys, can I just interject this? Don't dwell on the news. Dwell on the Lord. Get your eyes above all that mess and what man is saying and what the devil is saying through people. And start listening to what God says. And let your faith arise, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Amen. And through faith we gain the victory. The land which through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. This in verse 33. There what? We saw. We should underline, we saw the giants. And what? The descendants of Anak came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Now listen, and so we were in their sight. We need to reverse this thing, turn this thing around. God is with us. The Most High, El Elyon, He is with us. He's on the throne. He's not nervous. He's going to have everything, amen, according to His plan, come to fruition. What He declares, no man can stop. No devil can stop. What God puts in motion, no one can stop. You and I need to get into motion, like Israel, to go forward with God, amen, in His Spirit, in His plan for our lives. Hallelujah. Live your life. Quit getting down and into discouragement and allowing the devil to rob you of your confidence in your God, because your God is greater than anything that we're seeing on the news. Anything that we could face in life, God is greater than that. Hallelujah. You know, if the enemy can convince us that we can't, then we won't. If he can convince us that somehow he's bigger and greater than our God and what we can do in God, then we won't accomplish the will of God. We'll sit back in complacency, apathy, self-pity, self. God says you need to get your eyes above this stuff. Get out of the cesspool of the message that the enemy is propagating right now, because he's involved in psychological warfare on the American people. He's trying to get people to give up on the fight. He's trying to sow hopelessness, because when a person becomes hopeless, what happens? They give up. They quit. But God says, be strong in the Lord. Be courageous, amen? Like he told Joshua, because I'm with you. Every place you go, I'm with you. And he's with us, guys, we're in good hands. Hallelujah. So we're to say to this mountain, get out of my way. Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree. Remember, he cursed the fig tree. But also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. This is a time to move forward in faith. It's time for the people of God to rise up in faith, in confidence, in our God's faithfulness, in our God's ability to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or even think. God is able. The Israelites were up against the Red Sea. They had no idea what they were going to do. They had no clue that God was going to perform the greatest miracle they ever experienced. Amen. And God said, listen, just tell them to start. Keep on going. But God, there's a red. Just keep on going. Keep on walking. And as they begin to step out, remember, as they stepped down, the priest stepped down into the, what happened? Moses lifted up his rod and he took authority. And God honored his faith. And because of his obedience, and because of the people's obedience, the Red Sea parted. God is saying, believe him, listen to his word, do what he says to do, regardless of how it appears, how it looks, because in God we'll gain the victory. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.